Now, I'm going to ask you to turn back again this morning to chapter number 7 in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 7. And we'll do our best to say a few words of encouragement to your heart. And so when you find Daniel 7, let's stand together and we'll begin in verse 15 and read through the remaining part of this chapter. Daniel 7 and verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him of the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times and dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom of and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations were troubled, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful now for the word of God that is precious to my heart. Thank you, Lord, for so many times that you've used it to strengthen and bless and encourage me as I make my journey through this life. Thank you, Lord, for the cross of Calvary that we look back to with great joy, and for the second coming of our Lord that we look forward to with great joy and anticipation. And I pray this morning now that for just a few minutes that you will still our hearts around the Word of God. Help our minds to be attentive, Lord, to what's being said. And I do plead the blood and pray for the presence of Christ in this place. May the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, manifest to our hearts your divine grace and love and mercy this day and the truth that is in this passage of Scripture. I pray, Lord, for that fresh anointing power of God, that fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. I pray for liberty and clear thought in my mind. And I pray for divine help. Without, Lord, I can do nothing. I ask you to save sinners today and bless the people of God. Revive us again that we might rejoice in thee. And may your name today be magnified, extolled, and worshiped. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to call our attention to verse number 18. Really, there's three verses here. Verse 18 and 22 and 25 that I could draw our thought from in the morning hour. But Daniel said in verse 18, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever." And then he added this little addendum to that, "even forever and ever," signifying that there would be no end to the kingdom of our God. Now, I've been preaching out of this chapter on the coming kingdom. And I've tried to look at the sovereign in his judgment. And I've tried to look at the Savior in his throne. And this morning, for a little while, I want to look at the saints of God in their position during the kingdom age. And I've tried my best to title that message. And would like to preach on this thought, if God will help me, "Then Came the Morning." I'm glad, thank God, there is a glad morning that shall come to the saints of the living God. As the psalmist said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And we may weep now, we may be sorrowful now, we may be broken in spirit now, there may be dark days now, but I'm telling you, the sun will rise again. And we can look to that with great joy and happiness in our hearts, knowing that this that we're in now is not the end. There is a better day coming for the saints of God. Now, these verses deal primarily with the consummation of the Gentile world power, their rule and their authority. At this time in this scripture, the Lord will establish His throne, and you and I, as kings and priests, will reign or shall reign with Him upon the earth. We've got a wonderful day ahead of us yet. But please notice, if you would, verse number 18 I just read. "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom." Hallelujah to God. "And possess the kingdom forever and even forever." But you know, we're not really enjoying that position at the present time. And I say this honestly, that we seem to be living under a dark cloud. I don't know anybody today or any church that doesn't seem to be living under that dark cloud of despondency, of despair. But thank God it's not doomsday. There is a brighter day coming on the horizon. And that man of sin, that son of perdition, seems to have the upper hand against the saints of God. Look at verse number 21 and what it says there in the Bible. Really, let's look at verse 20. He said, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." But it was only, he only prevailed until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Brother, I'll tell you, the devil's having a time now, but there's coming an hour when our God, my friend, will bind him hand and feet, and he shall be cast into outer darkness. I want to say that morning is soon to get here. "Then came the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but thank God the morning is just around the corner." Look at verse number 25. It said, "And he shall speak great words," talking about the Antichrist. "He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Wear them out. He said, "I'll wear them out." But the blessing is found in verse 22. "Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." Brother, I tell you, the devil is about to wear out the saints of God now. Now, I won't say that primarily these scriptures refer to the tribulation period. And in fact, in verse 25, when it spoke about the time and times and dividing of time, that's 3 1/2 years. And it deals primarily with the nation of Israel in the tribulation period and God's dealings with them. But I want to say, my friend, on the authority of the Word of God, that every child of God can rejoice in these verses. Because, hey, the devil is going to wear them out then. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, he's just about to wear out the saints of God today. No doubt about that. He is working double overtime to wear you and I out. To wear our patience thin, calls us to give up on God. He'd like nothing better this morning than to see us turn back on God. He'd like nothing better this morning than to see us turn back in the wilderness. But I'm telling you, there's a better day a-coming. There's a brighter day a-coming. There's a more glorious day a-coming, son. I tell you, it's just about sunrise. Amen to God. The day star is just about to arise in our hearts. There's coming a better day for the people of God, when we shall possess the kingdom, and the Lion and the Lamb shall lay down together. Men will study war no more, and we'll have a time as we rule and reign with God upon this earth for 1,000 years. I want to say amen and amen. Son, he's wearing us out every way you can think of. Ain't no doubt about it. He's smiling right now and wearing us out. But I want to say, then came the morning. Hallelujah to God. The sun's are coming up. Miss all things, that song, the sun is a coming up in the morning. I want to say, just as sure as she said in the west in yesterday evening, she came up in the east this morning. And just as sure as a midnight hour of darkness is settling in on the people of God, a sunrise is just around the corner for us. Amen. Hallelujah. We may have to live in some dark days, but the morning rays of sunlight shall again break through the eastern sky. And it will, and if we'll take time, hey, if we'll just take time to look back over our own life, I'm sure that we can recognize some dark days that we felt as though the sun would never shine again. But lo and behold, our God is such a faithful God. Amen. As sure as He led us into those dark days, the sun rose on us in the morning hour. Amen to God. When morning comes, darkness will have to flee. When morning comes, evil has no place to hide. When morning comes, the dew of heaven is found on the grass. I'm telling you, we need the day star to arise in our hearts in this place this morning, that the dew of heaven might lay upon our soul and moisten our soul for the glory of God. I'm a trying now. I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to do the best I know how. I've only got 3 little points. Can y'all help me out this morning? I've only got 3 little points and we're going to the house. When the morning comes, then came the morning. We sang that old song, then came the morning. What a wonderful old song it is. Dark days now, but then came the morning. And if we'll look back over our life, we'll be able to find some dark days and dark times in our life that we felt the sun would never shine again. But as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, the sun did shine again in our life. I want to say this morning, the morning came when I was lost in the darkness of sin. Lost in the darkness of sin. Groping in the darkness of sin. Blinded by the power of sin. But oh, there came a glorious morning, friend, on September the 13th, 1970, that this old boy lost in the darkness of sin, that the sun, and I'm not talking about S-U-N, but the S-O-N, son, rose in my heart. I can truly say, then came the morning, my friend, the dawning of a brand new day, for old things were passed away, and behold, all all things were made new in my life. Oh yes, sir. Then came the morning when I was dead in trespasses and sins, when I walked according to the course of this world, when I walked according to the power power of Satan, when I walked according to the course of this world and fulfilled the lust of the mind and the lust of the flesh. But on that glorious morning when the sun arose in my heart, morning came to my life and a new day dawned in my life. I began to live for God. The morning came when I was lost in the darkness of sin. Amen. I think about that old blind man in John chapter number 9. Bible said that he was born blind from his birth. Never saw the sun rise nor the sun set. Was unable to see the beauty of the flowers, and unable to see the trees as they blossomed. Unable to see the beauty of the mountains, living in total and absolute darkness. But oh, there came a day when Jesus came to where that old blind boy was. Made that spittle out of clay and anointed his eyes. Told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And as he went and washed in the pool of Siloam, I'm telling you, the sun rose in his heart. Then came the morning. For him that had been in blindness all of his life and lived in darkness all of his life, the bright light of the Son of God shined down in his heart. And the scales fell from his eyes. And he was able to see things that he had never seen before. Amen. Bible said in chapter 9 of John, verses 6 and 7, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. I want to say, my friend, then came the morning in that blind man's life when he was a lost sinner in darkness. Thank God that Jesus opened his blinded eyes and he is able to behold things that he had never seen before. I want to say, I'm glad, thank God, he opened my eyes one day. Woo! I was able to behold wondrous things out of his law. I was able to see the cross that had been overshadowed all of my life. I was able to see the glories of Christ dying in my place upon an old rugged cross. Yes, dying for me and as me, shedding His blood, voluntarily laying His life down that He might take it up again. I'd never seen my Savior, but I saw Him that morning. I'd never seen my sin, but I saw it that morning. I'd never seen society as wicked as it is, but God opened my blinded eyes and I saw it that morning. Then came the morning. God opened that old blind man's eyes and he blessed him. Opened his eyes and blessed him with faith. Bible said in that chapter, in chapter 9 of John, verses 10 and 11, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? You know, he come seeing, come back to his parents and his people and came a seeing. And they said unto him, how were thine eyes open? Now, I want you to get this. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and get this now and received my sight. I've often wondered how he got to that pool. The Bible said that as I never received his sight until he was obedient to the command of Christ and went to that pool and washed in the water of the pool of Siloam. I'm going to tell you how he got there. By faith, my friend. Thank God, faith is something things hope for and the evidence of things not seen. I'm glad it's by faith that an old sinner's got to make his way to the cross. It's by faith how that sinners have to make their way to that holy hill. It's by faith and obedience in the Word of God that we make our way to the cross, my friend, where our eyes are open from the blindness of sin. Amen. God blessed him with faith. You'd have to honestly say this morning, when you set out in your pursuit of salvation, that you really didn't see everything clearly. Can you imagine this old boy headed down the street of Jerusalem with mud on both eyes made out of spit? And somebody asked him where he's going. Well, I'm going to the pool of Siloam. Well, how are you going to see to get there? Well, there's just something on the inside that's compelling me to go. Just something in my heart that's instructing the way. Oh, I want to say this morning that faith, it is the gift of God, my friend. And it was by faith that we made our way to the cross where our blinded eyes was open. And then came the morning when we were able to see more clearly than we'd ever seen before. He was blessed with faith. I want to say, secondly, he was blessed with fellowship. You know, when he came back to his people, that crowd disowned him. Some of them said, is this the man that sat blind a begging? Some of them said, this is not him. Others said, it is him. His parents said, it's not him. But he himself, he said, I am he. And for fear that they'd be cast out of the synagogue, his own family, his own parents disowned that old boy. And they cast him out. And the Bible said that when Jesus had heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, when would that a blind man have seen the Lord Jesus Christ? His first encounter with him, he was blind as a bat, friend. But yet, on the second encounter, when his eyes are now open, and he's saved by the grace of God, our Lord said, you both seen him, and it is him that you talk to right now. Oh, I'm going to say, my friend, hallelujah to God. He had to see him there at the pool before his eyes was ever opened. It was by faith that he saw him. It was the faith that drove him to that pool where he washed those eyes. But now that his eyes are opened and he's testified of the grace of God, kicked out of the synagogue, oh, and disowned by his parents and family and friends, guess who found him when he was kicked out? Even the Lord Jesus. And they started a wonderful, wonderful relationship together. Aren't you glad when the morning came, my friend, that God give you faith that you might live for Him? And then He provided you with a wonderful, blessed fellowship that we can sit down. Oh, I tell you, our fellowship truly is with the Father and with Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world. And there's nothing any more precious in life than to be able to sit down and fellowship with this darling Son of the living God. I'm talking about communicate with Him a little bit. Read His Bible. Have prayer time. I was wondering this morning, my brother Steve was trying to do the Sunday school lesson. I wondered this, Lord, how many of us this week have really spent time in fellowship? How many of us this week have really opened our Bibles? And like little Mary, sat down at the feet of the Lord Jesus, looked up into the eyes of the Son of God, and there read our Bible, and adored and worshipped and praised the good Lamb of God. I dare to say there's very little of it been going on here. Amen. I believe if we'd been in touch with Him, we'd have come to the house of God. Amen. Ready to worship. Ready to sing the songs of Zion. Ready to offer praise and adoration unto our God. Instead of coming like a bunch of knots on logs and like a bunch of wooden Indians. Amen. Then you get along with Him a little while in fellowship, I guarantee you He'll start a fire in your soul. Huh? That's right, Jesus found him. He gave him, blessed him with faith, and then he blessed him with fellowship. That's wonderful. That an old sinner condemned unclean can sit down in fellowship with the darling Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. He's never too busy. He's never too busy to listen to everything we got to say. And yet we fail to say it so often. He'll listen to your complaints. That's right. He'll listen to your complaints. He'll listen to your troubles. He'll listen to you about your sorrows and your heartaches that nobody else wants to hear. You know, nobody on earth really wants to hear about somebody else's trouble. We've got enough trouble of our own to take care of. But I'm glad that there's one that loved me and died for me. And when I was cast out, He came to where I was and found me and sat down with me and began to fellowship with me in the good grace of God. And then He said, just cast all your care upon me because I care for you. Tell me all your troubles. Tell me all your problems. But Lord, you don't understand. The biggest problem I got is a sin. He said, you can tell me that too.
Amen.
Now I promise you, if you confess that to me, I'll not tell another soul.
Amen.
And beside that, not only will I not tell another soul, I'll cast it as far from me as east is from the west, and I'll forget about it also.
Amen.
You can tell me about your sin, your problems, your troubles. You don't have to worry about me running off telling somebody else about it.
Amen.
What a great God we have.
Yeah.
Then came the morning for that old blind man. I don't know how old he was, but he had been blind all of his life.
Amen.
And on that wonderful morning,
yeah,
Jesus opened his eyes, blessed him with faith, amen, blessed him with fellowship. And then I want to say thirdly, and then he blessed him with friendship.
Amen.
Jesus, when he heard that they had cast him out, when he had found him, the Bible says, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is it, Lord,
yeah,
that I may believe? Well, I'll tell you, there's no other friend like the lowly Jesus. I'll tell you, when the morning came, that Sunday morning, when I was saved by the grace of God, I met a friend. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Don't forget it. Huh? What's the rest of it? I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn. Or something like that. You love messing me up, Doug. It's tight enough in here this morning. It's dead enough without going through that.
Amen.
I shouldn't have listened to him in the first place. Any man run out of gas and think he had a battery problem. We're trying. We're trying, I'm glad, thank God. When morning came, that the blind man found faith, and the blind man found fellowship, and the blind man found friendship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to God. I want to say secondly, the morning came. All I can do is talk to you. That's all I can do, I reckon. I want to say the morning came when I was living in the despondency of sickness. You know, I've never seen so much sickness in my life. And I'm just going to have to talk to you. That's all I can do, but I'm going to do it anyway. Morning came when I was living in the despondency of sickness. I've never seen so much sickness in all of my life as what I'm seeing in amongst the people of God. That's what we're seeing right now. And I want to say this. That I don't believe in faith healers. But I do believe that there is healing in the atonement. I do believe that Christ made provisions for the healing of our bodies in the atoning grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 3 years ago, I want to use this as an illustration. And I'll try to be brief. But 3 years ago, this month, December, I walked out of that little old examination room in Vanderbilt University Hospital as a 53-year-old man that they said had Parkinson's disease. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you, buddy. Until you've walked there, you have no earthly idea the sap that it can draw out of you. I tell you, when I left there, I was quite despondent, concerned about the ministry, concerned about preaching, concerned about my ability to provide for my wife. Oh, I'll tell you, those things begin to surge my soul. And for a little while, I'm honest, I thought it was going to let it overwhelm me. I thought about Miss Sandy's daddy and the battle that he's been fighting with his affliction. And I thought about, no doubt, the many times that the devil has attacked him. And the devil has attacked his family. And somebody said, now, preacher, those things don't bother me. Maybe you ain't got old enough yet. I thought about Sister Rickard, had that cataract removed off her right eye. And I don't know exactly how old she is, but I'll say this, she's not a spring chicken. And here's a woman growing up in years that's got cataracts on her eyes, and don't you really have to wonder, will the operation be successful? Or at my age, will I go blind and be dependent upon somebody all of my life? I won't say to you, my friend, when sickness sets in on your bodies, and by the way, when it is a terminal sickness, that really causes the old heart to tremble. When it is a degenerative disease that there's no hope of ever finding a cure for, it makes the heart begin to tremble. Some of us tremble and shake at diarrhea. God help us. Amen. A little upset stomach. We get all bent out of joint. Now, I'm going to tell you, wait, son, until years creep upon you and some degenerative disease that there's no hope of ever finding a cure for, and there's no hope of you ever getting better. I looked in the mirror yesterday morning and I said, Lord, I'm sick of being sick. Sick of being sick. Now I got to thinking about people in the church that's been sick and friends that we have. And family members that's been sick. My heart went to that little old woman that had that issue of blood. Now, I want to say this again, that I believe that there's healing in the atonement of Christ. And I do believe that there's time to time that God does heal individuals in their body when it will bring maximum glory to Him. But I'm going to tell you, God showed me something about that. There's a little old widow woman. A little old woman that had an issue of blood, the Bible says, for 12 years. Can you imagine the turmoil of her life? Can you imagine her heart having that issue of blood? I'm talking about an issue of blood. And I hope I don't have to go into any detail to tell you what that is. For 12 long years, that woman had battled that disease and that sickness. She had been to every physician she could find. In fact, the Bible said she had spent all that she had. Son, I'm going to tell you, you wait till your body gets sick and I'll guarantee you that your money will seem little to you in comparison to your body and its sickness. A man or a woman will give all that they have that their bodies might be whole again. That's right. And I thought about that little old woman. She spent everything she had. Went to every physician that she could think of. The Bible said, and she did get a bit better. In fact, she grew worse and worse and worse. She spent all she had, and yet she found no cure for her sickness. Can you imagine that darkness that settled in over that woman? I'm sure she thought, I have to live this way all of my life. I'm sure that blind man thought, I'll have to live this way all of my life. But oh, then came the morning. Friend, I'm telling you, every time Jesus passes by, He brings the sunlight with Him. Every time Jesus passes by, the sun will rise again. Every time Jesus passes by, He'll set hope in our heart. Every time Jesus passes by, it's the starting of a brand new day. Amen. And I got to thinking about that little old woman. And the Bible said that she began to press through that crowd that thronged Jesus. And when she made her way to the Son of God, she reached out and touched the hem of His garment. For she had said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Don't nobody leave me. I don't know who I'm preaching to on this, but I'm telling you, God's going to settle me in right here, I believe. And I thought I thought it'd be silly to preach it, but I'm telling you, I believe I'm getting ready to preach right where some of us is living this morning. Amen. She said, if I can only touch just the hem of His garment, just His clothes, I'll be made whole. May I say to you this morning, listen now carefully, that woman need a personal touch from Him. It's an amazing thing. I'm not trying to be ugly, but hey, nobody else prayed for that woman.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. There'll come a day in your life when there'll be nobody to pray for you. Unless you're able to pray, you'll find yourself living in the despondency of darkness. I can't find where anybody prayed for that woman in 12 years. And there was no healing in her body until she herself had touched Him. Nobody else prayed for her. They didn't any faith healer anoint her with a bunch of olive oil. That amazes me today. And I know what the Bible says in the book of James. But we call for the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil. Pray over the sick. Problem with that is not many people today want to confess their faults one to another. And get their hearts right that they can pray for somebody. And by the way, as far as I'm concerned, that is the only scriptural way that I know for people to pray for the sick loved ones that they have. Is to anoint them with that oil and pray over them. But I'm telling you, there wasn't no faith healer come along. You didn't see Peter, James, or John with a gallon and a half of cod liver oil. Have her down on the floor. My brother told me the other day that I got a sister, maybe it was Miss Hall telling me, that my sister went to a little old Pentecostal church up in Indiana, in the hometown where Brenda's from. And said that at the end of the service, they got some little old woman up there and poured oil all over that woman. And they began to grab her and twist her and jerk her and shake that woman around. And some of them was hollering, turn loose. Some of them was hollering, hang on, let go. And some of them was praying to God to heal that woman. I'm going to tell you, I don't find none of that in the life of this woman. I'm going to tell you what I do find, that she had to touch Jesus on her own, my friend. And it makes no difference whether it is healing of the spirit or healing of the body. We're going to have to learn to touch Him for ourselves in life. But not many people know how to touch Him either. They're not willing to pay the price to fight the battle. She had to press her way through the crowd. You're going to have to press this matter. Yeah, amen. You're going to have to get through. You're going to have to press toward Him. If you're ever going to touch Him for the needs in your life, you're going to have to press toward Him. Amen. And I want to say this too. She didn't have any prayer cloth in her pocketbook. There's a crowd in the country today, all they want to do is take a little old rag, wad it up and put it in somebody's pocket. And tell them if they'll carry that rag, it'll heal their body. That woman, hey, it wasn't a piece of a little old prayer cloth. She didn't have somebody's soiled underwear in her purse. Nobody's old sweaty T-shirt in her purse. But she said, if I can only touch His clothes. If I can only touch His clothes, get this now, I know I'll be whole. If I can touch Him, boy. Hey, don't miss it. I know it's dead. I know it's dry. Praise God, but I'm doing the best I can. That word touch, you know what that word touch means? It means to attach oneself to. What that little old woman said is, if I can just attach myself to Him, I know I'll be made whole. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Son, He was whole. Yes, that's right. If we can attach ourselves, to that which is already whole. And He said He felt virtue go out of Him into her. And the virtue that went out of Him into her made her whole. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I believe we'd learn to pray for our sicknesses rather than laying around feeling sorry for ourselves. You might be surprised. You might be surprised. For her, then came the morning. Then came the morning when she was living 12 years in a despondency of sickness. And a personal touch, attaching herself to Jesus. Boys, we just had the Spirit in here. And I want to say not only she needed a personal touch, but He has the power sufficient to heal her. The Bible said in verse number 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, He turned Himself about at the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now get a hold of that. He didn't say, who touched me? He said, who touched my clothes? But I'm going to tell you, if you can feel somebody touching you on the back of that coat, I don't believe I'd ever feel it. But Jesus did. And He did because there was virtue went out of Him. That word virtue comes from that word dynamo or dynamos. It really dynamine. And it means the power of Almighty God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. No wonder then came the morning sun. She felt the power of God in her life. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when the sun rose in that old blind man's heart, he felt the power of God in his life. And when the sun rose in that woman's heart, she had felt the power of God in her life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when the morning will come around this dead place, is when we feel, that's right, when the power of God, when we feel the power of God in our life. And as little old Philip does over there, and we come into church and get with it a little bit. I'm talking about praying, praising, and preaching. And if we'll come in a praying, and some of you still bypass the prayer rooms, if we'll come in a praising, I'll guarantee you the preaching will pick up a little in the house of God. Shame on us. Praise God. Somebody said, I wish things would pick up in the church. What are you doing to pick it up?
Amen.
When was the last time you touched Him?
Amen.
If we ain't sick, I don't know what we are. Praise God, that'll preach.
Amen.
The body seems to be sick.
Amen.
But it ain't the virus that's got us down.
Amen.
Oh no, it's not Parkinson's that's got us down. It's not cancer that's got us down. It's a little word called S-I-M that's got us down. Oh, we're sick in the body, but I'm here to tell you, if we'll touch Him, praise God, the morning will come and the sun will rise again in the house of God.
Amen.
The Bible said that her plague, she needed to personally touch Him. His power was sufficient to heal. And her plague was made whole in verse 34. The Bible says, and He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be made whole of thy plague. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I've got one more point and I've tried. I'm going to tell you I've tried. Ain't no doubt about it. I've given it my best. I want to say the morning came. Morning came when we were lost in sin. The morning came when we lived in a despondency of sickness. And I won't say the morning came when Jesus' body lay dead in the sepulcher.
Woo!
Son, when they crucified our wonderful Lord, carried that body down off of the tree and laid Him in a tomb. And when that stone was rolled against the door, sealing out the light. They didn't have enough sense to realize that they tried to shut up light in darkness. Woo! And on that glorious morning, that third morning, sun light! I'm telling you, light sprang out of the darkness of the tomb. And the light of this world got up. Hallelujah to God. And morning time came again. Glory to God. Oh, yes, when Jesus came up, then came the morning for us all. Had He not got up, we had yet be in our sins. The preaching of the cross would be vain. Thank God He got up. I won't say thank God that He got up. I won't say it again. Thank God He got up. Amen. Now get this. The time of His resurrection. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 2, I want to see if any of you catch this. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun.
Amen.
Anybody catch that? What did you hear? Talk to me. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came under the sepulcher, and they got there, would you believe it, the rising of the sun. Now, my Bible said S-U-N, son, but hey, I'm going to read between the lines. They got there at the rising of the S-O-N. For they said, who will roll that great stone away from the door? But when they got there, friend, they realized that it was great, the Bible says. But when they got there, they realized the stone had already been rolled away. And a young man, white as a lightning, said, you seek Jesus. It was a dark day from the sixth to the ninth hour as the darkness set in over all the earth. And God hid his face from the sun and the sins of all humanity laid upon him. I'm telling you, I guarantee the old devil thought that he had a victory won. Amen. It was a dark day, but thank God, 3 days later from the heart of the earth, then came the morning when the Lord Jesus got up out of the grave and was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen to God. Amen. The time of his resurrection was at the rising of the sun. The tomb had been opened. The Bible said in verses 3 and 4, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. For it was very great. I wonder who rolled that thing away. Jesus said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. And I'm going to tell you, son, darkness could not conceal light.
Amen.
He's not only the light of the world, he is light.
Amen.
And in him is no darkness at all,
yeah,
what John said. He's not just the light of the world, he is light in itself.
Amen.
And light always expels darkness.
Amen.
I can't imagine 3 days and 3 nights later laying in that tomb and it dark. He said to himself, it's time to get up. The sun is about to rise. The sun is about to come up. And the S-O-N is about to get up. Hallelujah to God. That's right. He broke the seal of death. Death could not hold him prey. Jesus, my Savior, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Somebody said, what happened, preacher? Then came the morning, my friend. Amen. The time of his resurrection, the tomb had been opened. And the testimony of his disciples. Notice what that angel said, that young man said in verses 5 through 7. It said, and he entering in, and they entering, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were affrighted, and he said unto them, be not affrighted. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, get this now, and tell his disciples and Peter.
Amen.
There's the testimony. Go your way and tell somebody that he got up.
Amen.
Oh, I wonder if that's not part of our problem today. That it's been so long since we told somebody that he got up.
Amen.
That it's not all darkness in this world. That he got up out of the grave.
Amen.
And ascended back to the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Now to my text very briefly and I'm done. Then came the morning.
Amen.
When the saints shall possess the kingdom.
Amen.
He got up. And he's the first fruits of all those that slept.
Amen.
And because he got up, because I live, you shall live also.
Amen.
The morning's coming. There's a new day of dawning when the saints of God shall possess the kingdom.
Right.
And we'll rule with authority.
Amen.
With our Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's death and despondency and sickness and sorrow now. But the hour is coming when the saints shall possess the kingdom of God. Let's stand. Let's stand together.